Ki seite memukoma alivecho. Very much getting into the theme of Elul and Shuva, Shoshone Yom Kippur, Chofetz Chaim, Kippur, and many other faiths. So this parasha, in fact, is introducing us to mitzvahs that are going to help us do Shuva. Ki seite memukoma alivecho. Obviously, alivecho over here in this context is our oyed, our enemy. That antagonizes us, tries to put us down, tries to wipe us away, leads to horror. And a person can ultimately just sort of stay in, figuratively stay in bed, and not willing to go out to fight. It's been a hard year, been through a few Elul, been through Rosh Hashanah. You know, basically back to the same thing against Rav Yom Kippur, what for? I'm not going out to fight. Says the parasha, if you say to Muhammad, to make a real attempt, to make a real war, Alezech on the enemy. When the Sonai Hashem and the Kech of Yodecho, God spoke and promised to not to Habor Lesahim Sinai, please. To come to really try and purify yourself, God spoke and helped you. And not only that, the Shavit the Shubra. Not only that, the person has Shubra Ma'avo, then all your Averis become mitzvahs. And therefore, Shavit the Shubra can actually capture something through your Averis did and actually benefit from it. If you say to the Mokom on the Vechol and the Son of Shem and the Gech of Yedechol, it should be for Shabbat. That is how to go out to war. You've got to go out to war. Do a little bit. And Kodesh Baruch Hu will give the Tzad Bishmai that it's what you need to solve it and accomplish what you need to do. Now, the Olam HaMutza, Olam HaChassidus, until recently had a very, very great conflict in how to work on different minutes. I think we talked about this in the past, that the Olam HaMusa is going to smashing, breaking down the Shavira Samit, take the middle and breaking it, keep twisting yourself, breaking who you are. The Chassidish world, very much based there and built on the Sassana, he learns Sul Mira Vaseitoi, is not to leave bad, Sul Mira, and then Vaseitoi. He learns Sul Mira, how? By Vaseitoi. How do you actually Sul Mira? How do you actually break your bad middle? How do you actually come into places of Kedusha that you haven't reached beforehand? Work on your middle HaTzoyis. Work on your status of mitzvahs. Work on your potential. Work on your middle HaTzoyis. And through middle HaTzoyis, through working on that very, very hard, you can break away from your Ra and actually grow a lot more from that. So don't work on your bad and beat yourself up over the bad. On the contrary, work on the mitzvahs, work on the good, work on your Tzadik Kedusha, and the middle HaTzoyis. Those mitzvahs can actually Surah Meirah to turn you away from the bad. How? By Vatzah. He discussed this in the past, that's Machlekes, according to Vatzah, and Machlekes in Yaakov and Yosef with the Shrine of Menashe. A lot of very, very fascinating Mahalach in his Vatzah Emes, but he brings this mystery to Parashah. It's an unbelievably beautiful book. He says this. He says in the Vatzah Emes, he talks about, he says, Seyla Mokoma Aloizecho. Sorry, so he says, so possibly it's over here, but he says, he says, say, Perik Chof Gimel Posegut. He says, "Say machne alivecho v'nishmartim mikol dovoro." So the pasuk is talking about when you're going out to make war, v'nishmartim mikol dovoro, guard yourself from anything that is negative. In other words, you've got to be careful. We're talking about kaddish. You can't be very careful not to do anything wrong. And the pasuk continues in pasuk Gimel, v'yod tielecho nechutz machne v'itzosu shom machutz. In other words, this is the mitzvah of retaining our dignity even in times of war, that the person is required to relieve himself and doesn't just let go in war and goes to a certain place outside the machne and retains on dignity even in times of stress. Says this, brilliant. He says in machne alivecho, if you're going to make a machne, you're going out to make war alivecho on your enemies, v'nishmartim mikol dovoro. Now, things like this. V'nishmartim mikol dovoro means every single person has a chelut elakan yimal that is unique to him. That he has a special chelut, that he has good. He has a chedus of potential that nobody else has. That particular element of good for the Shmata called Dovorot, you have to make sure that you actually retain that Kedusha, that nothing happens to that little bit. In other words, work on that little bit of Kedusha that you have. Work on that little mitzvah you have, that you know is good for you, you know you have that, and that is a koyach that you have, v'nishmat l'kol dovro, don't allow that in any way to become affected. If you work on that, so the pasuk v'yod tir l'cha michutz l'machneh v'yisot l'sham achutz, if you have this midas hatoy that you work on, then what's going to happen is you're going to have a hand even for those things that are b'chutz l'machneh. Even those challenges you thought were too difficult for you to work on, if you worked in midas hatoy, if you worked in yichelik hatoy, what's going to happen is that chelik hatoy is going to be able to give you the tool to work on the chutz l'machneh, those things that you believe were too difficult for you to fight on. That yod, those tools you have now, you have the ammunition to fight on something you never believed you had the courage to fight against. The yod tir l'chom yichutz ha-machaneh, and you have ammunition to fight even outside your machaneh, outside what you believe is your camp, as it were, your strength to fight the etorba, your sotu shom achutz, and you'll be able to go outside there like a free man. You'll be able to base yourself on your strength and fight against the player hara on a level that you completely free yourself from the gavara. In other words, sur mira, how? By va'asei toi. We've been through enough Elul, we've been through enough Roshonas, and nothing gets us to know that big, grandiose declarations of Shuva is absolutely worthless. You know, we come to Roshonas and we think about Malchus, something simple, and that clap our feet for Lashon Hara, besides that bit, never will be Lashon Hara again. It doesn't work. They make all these kinds of Roshonas and Dorin, it doesn't work. I want to help you, Derek Adurish, I think it's Emmet. He's sitting in the Bayat Kodosh. You want to build the Bayat Kodosh, a new monument. You want to build yourself a new home. You want to build yourself a new Madrega. But see to Marka Legagacha, by all means, make a Marka Legagacha. You know, circle yourself with the Doric. Circle yourself with a way that's going to help you to protect yourself. However, when you're doing that, make sure that the Doric you make are not too great. Because if you do, and you break down the Doric, you're going to fall down. And you're actually going to injure yourself more. You're going to do much more damage than beforehand. So it's on Dombi Sechel. Yipol Hamayim Menachem, you surely fall down. In other words, if you build up, if you make a Tachana, and no way I'm ever going to see Lashon Hara again. I'm Kippur, terrible Lashon Hara, never see Lashon Hara again. That's it. And if the first time you speak Lashon Hara, you've broken that Gedda. That's the Gedda, it's not for me, it's too hard. You make a small gedda, I'm going to speak after. I'm going to speak only between 3 and 4. Lashon Hara. No. I'm going to learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. I'm going to be able to speak, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to speak to a particular friend who generally speaks Lashon Hara, I'm going to try not to. You make those gedorim are safe gedorim. Anything that is too great, anything that is too beyond you, chas v'sholem, it's not only not going to help you, but it's actually going to put you down. Once you break down that gedda, it's going to destroy you. So the Emma says, and yeah, I just want to read up what he says over here. The tikkun hatzadik, the chinas ma'at, the tikkun of the tzadik is in small steps. Sheyehei choshev etzlei mashe zoiche lekai mitzvah soiroi. It's choshev to him what he is zoiche to the kind mitzvah of Kodesh Baruch Hu, af shuhu ma'at, even though they're very small mitzvahs. But could be his tabkusoi, but oisai ma'at, with him connecting with that small step of good, af chayim hu lahavi letakein hakol karoi. That will give him the life, that will give him the strength to fulfill everything else he needs to do. In other words, shuvah, the seifa matoma lezacha, has to be done not in one great leap. It's done in small, powerful, but solid concrete steps in the right direction. I want to work through the parasha in the mamash beginning here with facing the correct direction. In Shuva, and Rahman is going the wrong direction, how one step leads to another for the purpose of the life of God. In other words, Shuva and Mice and Saving are all based in small steps in the right direction, and Rahman is not. Disaster is when people face in the wrong direction, step by step. Step number one, Yifastoya. Yifastoya. Now, what is Yifastoya? Who went out to war? Who went out to war? There are Gedolim. There are Gedolim that only went out to war. These were the people who had no chetu yodot. These people who were well established, they had their homes, they had their vineyards, they were married, they had everything going very, very well for them. And they're doing fantastically. And these people were even people who weren't scared of a chetu yodot. So the Gemara, that they never had any hirhur between finish the race, finish the ad. Finish the ad, finish the ad. Never thought they weren't going to see a thousand at the finish. Perfect people. And they're going out to war, and what happens? What happens? See, do you know what kind of wives these people had? These people had these wives, you know, they set them out with. Imagine a Jewish man going out to war, his brother going out to war, he had a pack of sandwiches, and Kishka for Shabbos and taking out to war. Shabbos, and he's at home there, combing his primal and polishing his Akor and his talis. Fantastic, and his brother going out to war, and what does he do? He sees this Arabian looking princess. Yeah? He sees his shiksa there. And he can't control himself. He feels, he believes that, you know, his life cannot be the same, he has to take it back. So he takes his yifastoya. He takes his yifastoya and brings her home into his house. Now imagine what his wife thinks. This man, Tzadik, his son of Chochem, is walking into the house with an Arab shiksa. What's going on here? How can that possibly be? So the Torah, you know what? It's perfectly mutti. You can't control yourself. War is war. It's hard to control yourself. Go for it. If that's so, we'll be mutted at me. So she's sitting in the house, and she's disturbing everybody. She's got Arabic music going on there, and she's shaving her hair, and doing her nails, and getting in the way. Really messing things up. Now, what happens to his marriage? What happens to his marriage? He's got now, you know, a nice Hamish wife, and now he's got this Arabic woman. There's a language barrier here. So he's trying to educate. And imagine what's going on in his life. What's happening to his whole household? What are his children thinking? His father's walking around with his Arabic shiksa in the house. You know, people don't think of that. My grandfather was a chief rabbi of Germany, in Berlin, before the war. Before the war, and he went back after the war. He went to England, he went back after the war. Before the war, he was... Before the war. After the war, he went back for 2 years. He went for 2 years to sort of Berlin, where I was left. And a man came to him before the war, and his child, his son, was facing the shiksa. So my grandfather said, you know, let me speak to this boy. So I brought the boy in. Now, educated, old man, very pretty looking as well. Well, in a few years' time, you know, she's going to be sitting there with her, you know, with steely hair, you know, with having a milk and magnesia, and that's the kind of person you want to look after. Is that who you want to be with all your life? Get Hamish and girl, come on. And the boy was like so disgusted. You know, you're right, you've got a point. You've got to see further. Here you have a yifastoya. Here you have a yifastoya that he brought into the home, al pi hetta. But he's gone one step beyond what is absolutely lachatchila. And what happened? So the next parasha, straight away the next parasha is, after yifastoya, is the parasha of gerushin. Parasha gerushin. The Torah says, the Torah warns you, take into the house by all means, but I'm just warning you, yilik. That's what parasha says. You're going to have Shalom Bayis problems. Not only with this woman, but probably other wife as well. So here you are, a time of clock, I'm going up to war, everything's doing very, very well, everything's going fantastic, and now he brings home this Arabian looking shiksa, and now you're having fights with her, and fights with your own wife, and what happens then, says the parasha, you think everything's going okay from that time on? You've got a few kids from her, you know what? You've got a Ben Soira Moira. So here you have a complete, you've got a kid going off the derech, you've got marriages in shambles, and, you know, and everything's gone off only for one particular step, not even Asa Pitera, but not Alecha Tchira, taking, just looking around, doing something you shouldn't be doing. This is a step in the wrong direction, and that's what Torah promises you, promises such a person, absolute, absolute disaster. Now let's go a little bit further. I'm not sure the question.
A bit of a loud thing. You're saying the Ben Soreh originated from the beginning with the Shah of Far,
yes.
After it was made, he's looking elsewhere. And that one thing resulted.
The mother of the Fatsoya is most unlikely to be a very woman, educated woman, correct way. Just, if you want to look at the most beautiful piece I've ever seen. Our parents got to be the same voice, they look the same, they have the same stoppers, they have the same stoppers. It's a Gemara, the Gemara just brings that down. Yeah, both parents are the same. This is a mother and father bringing a child to basement, asking basement to clean, speak to the child because they've lost control. We're not listening to what she says, we're listening to the fact that there's a woman yelling and screaming in the basement, you know, do something to my poor son. It's not, she's not being used in basement as part of the spiritual system. Okay? Now, tomorrow says that. That's why that the parents put the marks of them look the same, sound the same. Then she can't have children, she sounds like her. So this process is of employer mirror, the couch of employer mirror, the mirror says by Hoyver of the yoke. It never was and never will be. It never was and never will be. In other words, we have certain parishes in the Torah which is there to teach us halacha. Hilchus Lulav and Esrog, right? Lulav and Esrog. Got Lulav and Esrog, that's the Maisa. How do you shake Lulav, how do you shake Esrog? What is Lulav, what is an Esrog? That's the Maisa. From the Lulav and Esrog, we can learn Musa. A Lulav is a Tzadik, is it a Beinani, and an Esrog is a Tzadik, and learn all different things from there, Alfi Derech HaMusa. But the Maisa is how to shake Lulav and Esrog. That is the Maisa. That is practically what you should do with the Lulav and Esrog. The Gemara says over here, with regard to Ben Sora Moira, there is no Lamaisa. There is no practically a case where you have a Ben Sora Moira bringing into basis, so it's never going to happen. Parents don't have the kind of foresight to bring a child who's just eating and drinking to base in and kill him. They're not going to do that. So the whole thing is for Musa. The whole thing, the whole parasha of Ben Sora Moira is only to teach us Musa. What is a Musa Ben Sora Moira? The Mepharshim say a beautiful word, and it's based on a more modern model. Imagine a person going to Germany to a high-tech conference in Germany. So Germany, but it's, unfortunately it's not geared to people who are not German. It's a local German fair, they're going through all the different things, whoever's there, there's some German companies, and they're working through their different kind of, you know, their different wares in a high-tech world, and it's not meant for anyone else who's not German. So a person comes from Israel, doesn't know German, and he realizes that unless he actually learns the language, he's in a lot of trouble. But on the other hand, he has not enough time to learn it properly. Okay? It would be highly, highly beneficial if he understands what's going on, if you bring it back to his own company, and if you really change the company with ideas. He goes to Germany, his grammar is terrible. German is a very, very difficult language. You know, the place before Mark Twain, sitting with his friends at the German conference, and he's sitting there for hours and hours and hours. My friend decided to walk out. Mark Twain said, "Not mistaken, though. German is a very, very, it's a very, very complicated, long, drawn-out language." So he went there and he doesn't understand the grammatical nuances of the umlaut here and there. You know, he speaks, but he gets through what he needs to get through, and he comes back and he gives over brilliant, brilliant, perfect, high-techy conference to all his friends there, and he's learned tremendous amount. But he's not going to go there and be careful, is it true and is it that's not important to him. He said, when we come to this world, when we come to Olam Hazeh, we come down over here to bring back stuff, to report back to base. We have to bring back stuff to Olam Habah. We need to show Rebbeinu Shlomo what's important. We need to come back and give a conference and say, Rebbeinu Shlomo, I've learnt this, I've learnt that, I've been in Yerushalayim. That's what's so important. To come down, to learn all the nuances of grammar, you know, all the different kinds of sushi and you know, and the different quality of cars, that's not important. That's learning the grammar of Olam Hazeh. You don't need the grammar here. All you need to learn is get the stuff, build yourself up, eat and drink and whatever you need to do, and then take the stuff back with you. So that is where the grammar is important. A Ben Sora Moira is somebody who's 13, between 13 and 13 and a half, is so wrapped up in Olam Hazeh. He's already stealing meat and he's already stealing wine from his parents, eating it somewhere else. He's already being elusive, he's already being criminally minded just in order to feed a tithe of Olam Hazeh. So the Gemara, you know what? We're going to give him the worst Musa. We're going to give him Skida, as the worst Musa in the Torah. Why? Because if you don't kill him now, he's certainly going to start killing people later. And therefore we kill him now to do a favour to him. Yom Zakai Val Yom Chayim. Somebody who's so wrapped up in Gashmis at such a young age, somebody is so involved in learning the wrong language, being careful in the grammar of Olam Hazeh doesn't stand a chance of surviving any level of rukh. And therefore, for your sake, Ben Sarimara, it's not a punishment. It's helping you to retain some kind of normality in Olam Habor. Kill you now before you do anything wrong. Why specific one of the proportion asked? Why does it see the wife? So you say it's maybe stealing, maybe put something in trouble. Then we have to stop him doing the worst news. Do the worst news for now. I'll be longer to discuss this, and I'll be longer on that level. Korban Ha'ira have to learn this message. They'll have to learn this message. That there's an idea of grammar that should not be taken too seriously in Olam Hazeh.
Surely they
can learn that anyway. They're
hanging
from the tree because they've been killed by the tree. So, anyone can see them anyway. Why doesn't it seem like it? It doesn't say. Call Anshu Iri. Okay? I don't know. I don't know why it's really called Anshu Iri. Fine. So that is the first level is the appreciation that a step in the wrong direction is fast soya, leads to a mess up marriage, leads to a ben soya moira. The second lesson is a ben soya moira himself, just going in the direction of being involved in German grammatics, being involved in olam hazeh. For the sake of olam hazeh, you need a person to completely wipe himself out in olam habo and every kilim here. Step in the wrong direction is what's dangerous. Next step, this is unbelievable law. The parasha says that this. The parasha says, you know, Jews are not racist. We accept people from all creeds. You know, you go to shul, you have Ethiopians, you have Russians, you have Poles, you have Syrians. We're not racist. We accept everybody. But says the parasha, lo yovi amoini me'ovi b'tal Hashem. You cannot. This is the absurdity of the process. Lo yovi amoini me'ovi b'tal Hashem. You cannot ever allow an amoin amoyov, man, male, to enter Klal Yisrael. Gam doira siri lo yovi lehem b'tal Hashem ad oilon, forever and ever. In other words, do we accept Germans? Yes. Do we accept Poles? Yes. Do we accept Mitzrayim? Yes. Ayin Mitzrayim shechted us and murdered us. We accept them. Al devar, why didn't we accept ever Avon Amoyov? Al devar ashele kidmu eschem lechem v'mayim, because they did not bring out to you lechem v'mayim. V'seischem Mitzrayim. V'ashe socha alechas b'nabilam ba'oiv, nipsoa ram narayim lekal alechem. And because their high is b'nabilam ba'oiv to wipe you out. By the way, Akush Baruch never listened to them. And therefore, they specifically Muslim with the Bosma al Ulam, in other words, have nothing to do with these people. Now, let's understand and put it in context. We have a father here. He hears that his son is dating a girl from down the street. Okay? So he says, brings his son into his study and says to him, you know, John, I do not want you dating Rivka from down the street. Why not? Not a good girl. What's wrong? Nah, I'll tell you what's wrong. First of all, I invited the family to the mitzvah. And then bought the mitzvah present. What kind of family is that? And secondly, when I drove by the house the other day, the father was sticking his gun out with a little with a crosshairs, and he shot at me. He tried to kill me. And it's because of those two reasons, never bought the mitzvah present, and he tried to kill me. Don't marry the family, prefer not. But Baisai, what's the pasuk saying? The pasuk is saying, don't marry Ammon and Moab. Why? Actually, Kidma Eskam Alechem was mine. They never came out with a pot of hot steaming tea and buttered scones on the way and left Mitzrayim. Yes, but, you know, they never did that act of hospitality. Number two, they put a bomb, a nuclear bomb, called Bilimbam Ba'or on your doorstep. They tried to blow you up. But it never actually worked. But they tried to kill you. Never, for those two reasons, they did Rosh Tiroth, but never allowed them to come to Sadiq. How can you compare one to the other? One is a lack of hospitality, and one is downright murder, attempted murder. What's the prophet saying? And they said, no, that hospitality. How can you compare one thing to the other? What's happening to the prophet? So Yaakov Naiman says, in Dark and Musa, most fantastic quote, he says that no Russia turned to Russia. He says, it's a book I read many years ago of how a guy went and became masculine. He did not turn a masculine. And he just went up there a little bit, and he started pinching hubcaps, and then he became a lawyer, and then, you know, and then eventually became a matrimonial boss. But it all started from small steps. It was never a person overnight can go along and shoot up town. He went small steps. There's a possibility. Don't think for one second So Ammon and Moab became Ammon and Moab overnight. You know how they became Ammon and Moab? A lack of a purpose for you. It starts off with a lack of a purpose for you. Your grandfather, Abraham being the slave, late flight. Therefore, the least they can do, after Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, go out, greet them, and show them some appreciation. The fact that you are not a mensch, the fact they didn't show this small, the least level of appreciation to Klal Yisrael, who didn't actually need it, but they had money and water and everything else, but show your appreciation, that shows a rotten core inside, which leads one step to another to eventually winning to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Actually go out and assassinate the nation for Binyan Ben Ho'il. That is step to step. That is people going the wrong direction. That is a Ammon and Moab entire nation started off wrong and went all the way down. There's a famous story of Itzhak Zalman. Moshiach of Itzhak sent a group of Talmidim to go and meet Altus of Slobodka, not to be thankful. And he asked them to go and meet with the Rosh Yeshiva, and he asked Rosh Yeshiva to report back to him about the various different nekudas that he believed that the Talmidim should be working on to strengthen Yerushalayim. Fine. So he sent this group, and the Rosh Yeshiva sent back a report. And there's one boy that's tremendous illy, and he's not asleep. Said that this boy nothing comes. What happened? He said, they're pouring coffee. And I give him coffee and sugar. And the sugar fell on the table. In front of everybody, he licked his finger and started dabbing the finger into the sugar. So that lack of character. Sit in front of other people. You start licking your finger and eating sugar from the tablecloth. What the hell, Harris? Nothing is coming. And Kachaba, the boy became a rock somewhere, and he left the Rabban over a scandal, and eventually he went into law, and he was involved in, he became a lawyer, and what happened from that time was, you know, he was involved in some kind of some corruption charges and selling jail. That is a person who doesn't have Derek Harris. It's going to lead step by step by step. That's one of the smarts. Not Ammon Moab. You see, never, but just going up to Derek. You don't turn from a crazy looking kid, or good looking kid, into work with Mohican the next day. It's step by step by step. The players get shorter, the speeds get shorter, and the clothes change, and eventually, slowly, slowly, you just hang out with working class kids, and never, you see the results. It doesn't happen overnight. It steps in the wrong direction. It's a common son to wipe a person out.
Sounds like it. If what you're saying is true, it sounds like it's all I can
do. It's what?
All I can do.
Why?
Well, here it's none of that.
I would say, Baruch Hashem, the population today, the minority of the minority, are kids who are not doing what they should be doing. And I don't believe in such a bad job at all. And therefore, we've got to make sure we do the best we can to get it back to school. That's the next thing. But if you leave it, that is a danger. The danger is step by step leading in the wrong direction. And Rahman Mussan is a big class player, turns into a bad marriage, turns into a Toyo Mura, then Toyo Mura wipes himself out over the wrong step. And Ammon and Moab start off by having bad middos and end up being tempted assassins. That is stepping in the wrong direction. Let's work back in the opposite direction.
Okay?
Let's work with Shluch Hakeh. I'm sorry, I'm rude. Sorry. I heard a fantastic shiur. Did anyone hear the Berlovsky shiur last year in the Novich Image? No? Berlovsky gave a fantastic shiur just for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Very, very wonderful shiur. And I didn't write it down then. I thought I forgot it, and Baruch Hashem, I remembered it. Yeah. This is the wrong direction. Let's go the right direction. Did you hear the shit? Fantastic. You said a bit. The Pasuk says in Perikot Beis, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Ki Yikare Kan Tzipo Lepanecho, Vaderech V'chol Eitzei V'chol Ha'aretz Afreichem V'beitim V'aim Revetzes, etc. It talks about Shulach HaKeng, Shulach HaShalach HaFa'aim, Esponin Tikach Lo. Fine. Permit the Shulach HaKeng. The next pasuk, pasuk Ches, says Kisivne Bayis Kadosh, building himself a new home. Vasisa Maka Legagecho, to build a maka around your house. Fine. Next pasuk. Leisitzer Kamocho Kalaim, do not build in your kerem, do not plant in your kerem kalaim, mixed fruit. Don't put a vine together with grain in the same field. Okay. Next pasuk. Leisachroish Shoy Bechomor Yachto, not mixed together when you are plowing a shor and a chomor together. Next pasuk, leisulba shatnis, do not wear shatnis, temer pishtin yachdo, temer pishtin together. And finally the pasuk says, gedidim tasilacho, wet tzitzis. Here we have shuruch hakein, building a makeh, kalayim with grain, kalayim with harisha, shatnas, and tzitzis. Very nice. Says Rashi, kisiv nebayis chodosh, im kiyamtom mitzvah shuruch hakein, if you fulfill the mitzvah shuruch hakein, we're going to end up getting a new house. Great. You know, everyone's very good school. So, you get a nice house. But the kai mitzvah's market, and by doing getting a nice house, you get a mitzvah of market. So, mitzvah grows mitzvah, one mitzvah leads into another. But tagia lekerem besode, and then eventually you'll end up getting a vineyard and a field, with the god in noy, and you have nice clothes. Lekach nismuchu parshas eva, that's why this parshas are all together. Now, I have a few questions. First of all, I've seen plenty of people doing Shuluch HaKein and don't have a nice house. Right? Then, you have Mitzvah Geres Mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvahs are so bizarre, they're so disconnected. Mitzvah Geres Mitzvah. Talk about mitzvah, you know, of Orchim, can lead on to Bikachim. Can mitzvahs not connected? Why mitzvah of Shuluch HaKein turn to Bayit Chodosh, turn to Market, it's Harisha? What's the shaykhus of these bizarre connected mitzvahs? What's the connection between them? So I'll just give a moshel, start off from somebody who knows nothing about mitzvahs. Okay? A person, mamash, he is completely fresh to Yiddish guy. He drops into the Seattle branch of Eish HaTorah, and he hears Rabbi Fine giving a shiur about Shuluch HaKein. No, maybe it's mitzvah Shuluch HaKein. Very practical, Shuluch HaKein. Fine. He's going along there, along the river, the lake there called Lake Washington, going there with his kids, and out of nowhere he sees this nest, the bird. So he goes through different halachas, when he can, when he can't, what kind of bird it is, a male bird, a female bird, and he decides, you know what, kosher bird, let's do Shuluch HaKein. Fantastic, so there's a lot of fun, he climbs up the tree, he falls a couple of times, the kids pick him up, he gets to the top of the tree, and that's Shuluch HaKein. He comes back feeling really good. Fantastic, I did a mitzvah, I just learned about the mitzvah today. The kind of mitzvah today, what a shkocha, fabulous, absolutely fabulous. No premeditation, there's no thought behind it beforehand. He just very non-spur the moment he saw the Shuluch HaKein, fantastic. Okay, he comes back home, and his home really is not much of a home right now because really the renovation's been taking place and the house really bits and pieces. But he's just finishing up his home. He had an interior designer there, he had an architect there, everything is absolutely perfect. Everything is really nice. Suddenly Avi rolls up in his old jalopy, and he says, hey, you haven't finished your house. So, what do you mean I haven't finished it? Everything's fine, the pool's in, the tennis court's in, what's the problem? He said, no, your roof. So, what about it? Market. You've got to build a market. What's a market? You've got to build a roof around, a fence around. Whoa, Rabbi, if I'm going along, walking along, trying to do a mitzvah out in the middle of nowhere, that's not for me. Are you telling me how to design my house? You're telling me that I've got to now call my designers in to change because the Torah of God tells me how to make my house look? Do me a favor. I'm just telling you, the Torah says you've got to put a market around it. Okay. Alright. You know what? I'll think about it. Think about it. You know what? I'm willing to allow God to dictate how my house should look. He builds a market there. It's a bit funny. Your friends make fun. But, fine. He's got a market around his house now. Absolutely fantastic. Then, he decides to start building on the areas, planting on the areas behind his house. So the house is fine, got a mark around his house, and now he goes out and he decides to actually go into business in agriculture. Agriculture. He starts getting a delivery lorry full of grapes with the vines, and another delivery lorry coming with all the grain, and they're both parked outside his house, about to plant all his beautiful surroundings, exactly going to make a bit of money out of agriculture, and decided to make a career of vines and grain together, and everything is going fine. Comes along Abby again with his car. Sorry, stop. What do you want to do? vine or grapes. You can't put together grapes and tzibor. You can't do that. Whoa, one second. If I want to do a mitzvah, I'll do it. If I want to make a tzibor in my own house, I'll do it in my own house. I mean, all the German Reformed Jews said, a Jew in the home and a German in the street. You're telling me what business to get involved in? You're telling me, you're dictating what my career? God dictates what I'm going to do, what I'm going to make money from? Do me a favor. I'm going to do both. He said, we're not allowed to. Torah says we're not allowed to. You know what? You're right. Okay. Now let me think about this. Think about it. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to do grapes and vine and grains. I'm only going to do grains. So now God has dictated how he has his walk. God has dictated how his house looks. God has dictated his business career. Now, Avi rolls back again. And there he's sitting there with his ox and his donkey plowing. Rabbi says, no, you can't put them both together. I'm sorry? You can't plow with an ox and a donkey together. One second. I've chosen, because Hashem told me to do this particular job. Now you're telling me how to do my job? God is telling me how I should do my job? You know, even the biggest mammon today says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me panosa. What does that mean? Don't mess up. I know it's the business, don't mess up my career. Here you have Hashem dictating to him what kind of business he get involved in and how he should do his business. You know what? I'll go for it. And it actually went very well. Business took off. He had a fantastic bountiful harvest. He goes to Germany or he goes to Italy, wherever he is, and buys a couple of suits. He comes back to the shul looking, feeling very, very good with himself. Made a lot of money the last season. And he comes back to Ralph, opens up his suit. Oh, lovely. You go, Bob. Let us have a step. So, Rabbi, you're joking now, right? No, you've got to check your thing. You can't have women in it. See, you're telling me how to dress? You're telling me Torah is busy telling me how I'm supposed to dress? Yep, you can't have shopness. And not only that, wear scissors as well. That's what a Jew looks like. This is mitzvah. One step from a person doing a mitzvah, he had no premeditation. He called the Chotan Sibyl of Nefer, just happened to be there. Turned into making his house a Jewish home. Making a career, a Jewish career, making how to do his business a Pidera Chatera, making how he dresses and how he looks, all according to Pidera Chatera. That is mitzvah. That is the benefit of walking along one tiny step after another going in Derech Hashem. That is what's expected of us in heaven. Not chas v'sholem to go the path of the negative, but to make one tiny step after another towards the positive. And I think there's one last part I wanted to finish off with, and I believe it's Emmet. This is what I thought through, and I believe it's a very, very difficult topic to understand. I'm not going to say this to Shabbos. The topic talks about making a parallel between two very, very unusual things. Leisovi esnan zayno mechir kele beit Hashem lekecho. You should not bring an esnan zoino and a mechir keleh to Beit Hashem lekecho lechol neidah ki toivah Hashem gam shneich. What's that talking about? I want you to listen to this carefully. The Torah says we have here a woman who is known as the loose woman in town. Okay? Got a little door there, a little red light. And Rahman al-Islam, people are coming along visiting this woman. And she's not a particular woman, she's not on the women's league of the shul. She's a woman who people have absolutely no kesha with unless they're misbehaving. And she's a zoyna. She decides one day I'm going to bring a neder. I'm going to bring a neder. Somebody gave me money, or somebody gave me a sheep. So we get paid by a sheep. I'm going to take the sheep and bring it as a korban. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps the sheep. Forget it. I don't want an esnan zoyna. I don't want a gift of a zoyna in my basement English. Thank you very much. Thank you. Keep it. What's the next one, sir? Mechir Kelev. What's a Mechir Kelev? Mechir Kelev is a person has a dog. A person has a dog. And this man who has a dog exchanges it for a sheep. I've got a dog, he's got a sheep. I exchange the dog for a sheep. Now I take the sheep to the base of the Migdash. I want to offer up the sheep. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, thank you, keep the sheep. So the apostle keeps saying, they're both say able. They're both abomination. I don't want either. Now let me ask you, both of them just as bad as one another. Now, why are they just as bad as one another? As far as I'm concerned, one is as opposite as the other as possible. Here we have a Zoyna. A Zoyna is despicable. She's taking an offering that she was given to her as a payment for an illicit act, and she's taking that to base, and Hashem said, you know what, I don't want it, keep it. But a mechir kelev is completely the opposite. A dog is man's best friend. A kelev is kolev. It's all about the heart. It's a man's loyalty. There's no arguing with the dog. People love the dogs more than their own children. And therefore, I'm doing such a mysterious message. What am I doing? I'm exchanging my dog, my loyalty, my love of my life, for a seh. And I'm taking this seh and I'm offering up my love of my life for Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with taking a kelev and swapping it for a seh and bringing it to Rabbeinu Shloimeh? What's wrong with that? I must have some serious nefesh. I'm not doing anything wrong. Nothing wrong having a dog. I'm exchanging it for a seh. What's wrong with that? How does the rest of the Pesach Pesach says, His servants Hashem gam shenehem. As Machlekes in the Gemara Bisham Bichilo, if I make a shinu, if I take, for example, let's say, for example, the Zaynah did not get a sheep, but she got flour, and she made the flour into bread, and she brought the bread as a toidot. Can she bring that? The answer is yes. Bichilo says yes, because shenehem means gam shenehem means. Those, the way they are offered. If you make a change, they become mutar. What's going on in this pot? We have a Eson Zaino compared to Mechir Kelev, and it's both one as bad as the other, but if you make a change, it's okay. What's the idea? Exactly what we've been saying till now. To jump from the Zaino into a person bringing a Neder is such a huge jump, it's not going to work. You can't jump from the Zaino into a charitable person overnight. Here you are. So the Zaino, and the Forshan explains that generally, women who are involved in Znus, it's not so much the taiva of Znus, it's the taiva of money. They're willing to do everything for some extra money. They're willing to sell their own body for money. And therefore, here you are, a person who's not chayim in a korban, exchanging their own bodies, in other words, completely eradicating their own dignity in order to make money, and then taking the money and saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not for me, it's for you. That's too much of a jump. Nothing's going to come from such a person. That's far too great of a leap in order for that to be meaningful. That is a case of a Zaino. What's Mechir Kelev? I have a dog who I love. I love this dog. He brings me my slippers every day. And he doesn't argue with me. And he walks with me every day. I love this dog. You know what? I say one day, you know what? I'm going to bring a korban from this dog. I'm going to take my dog, exchange it for a set, and bring it to the base of Mikdosh. What a tzaddik. I should say, that's not too soon. That's a pleyavon. What are you doing? Why are you making such a big step? You're not ready for that. You can't exchange your dog for a set. That's too much of a jump. You can't. You're gonna fall. You're gonna regret it tomorrow. You're gonna miss your dog tomorrow. You're gonna fall. You're gonna regret it and go even further back than you were today. Don't do it. It's a pleyavon. That's abomination. You're gonna regret it. However, if it's gam shenehem, if I make a step between. In other words, I don't jump from a znus into a korban. I don't jump from a dog into a sheep. I change it from a dog and exchange it with a cow, and next day I exchange a cow for a sheep. That I can bring as a korban. Why? Because it's one extra step. It's one step separating one from the other. That extra step allows you to move that little bit slower towards the direction you're trying to go. That extra concrete step, it makes all the difference of making something a te'eva into a korban, making something abominable to making something acceptable. That extra step, that instead of making one giant step, making two small steps, those two small steps are the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One big step is a te'eva. That's what the parasha is talking about. Don't believe for one second that one can turn an Elul into a meaningful time. One can make Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur meaningful if you're going to take huge steps of bashing against the Sahara. Never going to do this again. That is Kisotan Om Beisach, you're going to fall. Yipulam Nisal, you're going to fall. It's got to be like the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says it's got to be done using the small steps, using the Kuchas you have of Toiv. Taking the Midas of Toiv and making it a Yad. Going to Machna Levecho with your Yad, with your Kuchas of Toiv. Fighting with that step by step. Going step by step in the wrong direction is Yifas Toya, is leading to a difficult marriage and ending up with a Ben Soya Mura. It's a Ben Soya Mura starting up with eating meat and drinking wine and ending up with Rahman Islam, a murderer. It's Amon Amoyo having a lack of Derech Eretz and ending up Rahman Islam, a attempted assassin. that is steps in the wrong direction. Steps in the right direction is slowly, slowly doing mitzvahs and building yourself. For mitzvah, you have no premeditation. To a mitzvah that you actually bring into your home. To a mitzvah that is involved in career choice. How to do business. How to dress. To look like an Eved Hashem. That is step by step in the right direction. Is his karvus Rebbein Shleilam. That is korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A te'evo is something that's done in big steps that are meaningless. A korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a rotz ritzel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes and appreciates is something that is done in a smaller step, and that is why a shinui done with a mechir kelev or esnan zoino is actually a korban HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that, but otherwise it's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally ignores.